Belief and Fury of the Resurrection. There's a new world becoming. Every Sunday at this hour, WMCA, in cooperation with the Citywide Citizens Committee on Harlem, brings you a series of vivid programs on Negro life, based on the theme of Roy Otley's book, New World A-Coming. Today, we're proud to present the distinguished star of motion pictures, stage, and radio, Miss Miriam Hopkins, with Canada Lee and Philip Lowe in a dramatization of Lillian Smith's There Are Things to Do, written, directed, and produced by Mitchell Grayson. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Miriam Hopkins.
There are things to do now in America, things that we can all do to bring about better relations and greater understanding between the races. Somehow, we must believe this. Believing it, we shall break the spell that some of us have put upon ourselves, that it's useless to try to change things, that we must allow things to remain as they are, without causing race riots or violence or even great inconvenience to oneself. There are things to be done. Some so simple, so unrequiring of courage, that even the most timid among us can safely do them. We are now in the midst of a total world war, and changes are already taking place. Changes for the better. Changes which concern all of us deeply. In Harlem, in India, in Detroit, in Burma, in Java, in Atlanta, in Jackson, Mississippi. We can either sputter and break a blood vessel, or we can roll up our sleeves and get to work to make these changes happen smoothly and harmoniously. Yes, there are things we can do now. And in a moment, you'll hear about some of these things. If one day you find yourself in your favorite bookshop or public library, you might be guided by what this average American did not so long ago.
Good evening. Are you the librarian?
Yes. May I help you?
Well, thank you, yes. It's all new to me, this whole thing.
Why, what's that, sir?
Well, there's been so much talk on the race question lately, I find myself missing out on discussions simply because I don't know anything about the subject.
The race question?
Well, more specifically, about colored people.
Oh.
Do you have anything concerning Negroes?
Well, I think we have. As a matter of fact, we have a whole shelf of books right here. Raper and Reed, Sharecroppers All, Embry's Brown America, Vance's Human Geography of the South, Charles Johnson's Growing Up in the Black Belt. Oh, and here's a book, Nehru's Toward Freedom, which, though written by a Hindu about India, is one of the best books on the white man and the black man in America. Oh, there are lots and lots more books, as you can see.
Yes, I can see. There must be hundreds of facts that I can begin to learn something about. Well, thank you very much. Let me see now. I'll take this one first.
That's simple. No race riots caused by reading a book. And some of these books are revelations in themselves. They're exceptionally well written, easy to read, enjoyable. And some of them will make you ponder. Now another thing to do. The next time you hear someone start to tell what he considers to be a great joke, using certain distasteful words concerning colored people.
And so this darkie, he says he didn't do it. This coon says I did it.
You might urge the individual to stop using those words, and even better, to stop telling that kind of joke. These days, jokes like that are not very funny, except to the Germans. It's a little thing, yes. But the little things do as much as the big things to wear out the nerves of decent, self-respecting Negroes in our community. Besides being in bad taste, they are hurting the morale of colored Americans in our armed forces and our colored allies overseas. From time to time, some of these unwarranted jokes even appear in our daily newspapers. When you see one of them, write a letter to the editor. Suggest that Negro jokes be avoided in the future. And while we are on the subject of the press, listen to this episode in the life of an average middle-class man and his wife in their New York apartment.
Anne? Oh, Anne?
Yes, Harold, what is it?
Where did this come from?
Where did what come from?
This paper. The Pittsburgh Courier.
The Pittsburgh Courier? Well, I don't know. Didn't you buy it?
No. How did it get here in our apartment?
I have no idea.
The Negro newspaper. Look at the headline. Fight discrimination of Negro service nurses in armed services. Is the maid here today?
Oh, of course. Ruthie must have brought it with her and forgot to take it home.
Look at this. Group meets to plan post-war jobs for returning Negro veterans. Say, this is a lively little newspaper, isn't it?
Lively? Did you notice the circulation it has?
No.
Up there, in the right-hand corner.
Circulation, 225,000. That's not bad, that's not bad.
I never knew there were special Negro newspapers printed, did you?
No, I didn't.
Turn the page, Harold.
All right. Look, all the pictures are of Negroes.
Well, that's understandable. What did you expect?
I don't know.
Look at the columns. Community life, society news, cooking.
Say, this is interesting. You learn all about what Negroes are doing, not only in Pittsburgh, but all over America. Say, I like this paper.
Would you want it brought here regularly?
Yeah. Give Ruthie the money, will you?
I'll do that little thing. Turn the page, will you? I'm interested, too.
Most niggers read the white press, but very few white people read the Negro press. To understand what is uppermost in the Negro's thoughts, to get a better understanding of Negro opinion, we ought to buy their regularly printed newspapers. Don't be shocked if at first you find the Negro press laughing at some of the things white folks do and criticize them. But also, don't forget that in this democracy of ours, Negroes have a right to their own opinions, and their opinions are often right. Violent words are sometimes used, but it's against a violence we are usually responsible for. But if you want to know how it feels to be a Negro in wartime America today, read their papers. Thank you.
I guess I should thank you, ma'am. You saved an awkward situation. I didn't want to put this boy back there, but, well, if that passenger had insisted, well, I just had to do it, that's all.
I understand, driver. Not all Southerners are like that man. At least, not today.
God knows all bus drivers must be sick of such happenings, unless they're confirmed sadists. Many of the other passengers in the bus showed their gratitude. They were grateful to this woman, and they were also shamed. But well-bred white women are especially suited for such roles. A person who speaks undemocratically to a Negro, wherever it may be, can be quietly and tactfully rebuked. Thus, tensions can be eased and unpleasantness avoided. Imagination and sympathy are required, and many women have these in abundance. It's time now to use such gifts in fields where they are badly needed. For every such act, whether by white women or men, is a triple victory for racial democracy, for Christianity, and for the United Nations in this war. Millions and millions of Americans across this great land of ours have gone to church today. Most of them have already returned home. Now they're sitting comfortably in the quiet of their homes, resting, reading, preparing for the evening dinner. Yet, pause a moment to hear this story. It's happened over and over again, Sunday after Sunday, in certain churches across the length and breadth of America.
Are you looking for someone?
No, sir. I've
I just moved into the neighborhood. It being Sunday, I wanted to come to church. This one was the closest to where I live.
I see. Well, of course, there are no other colored folks here, as you can see.
Oh, that's all right, Reverend. I get along fine with white people.
I'm afraid you don't understand. We're all white here. The services are conducted for our regular parishioners.
I won't interfere with their worship, Reverend.
Perhaps you'd be happier at another church where your own people go.
Oh. Then I'm not welcome here. Well,
I didn't say that.
But that's what you mean, isn't it?
I only implied that there were churches where your own people go. That's all.
I don't know what to say, sir. I came here believing that this was a place where a man could worship.
Oh, it is. It is.
But not for people of my color. I understand, sir.
I was sure you would understand. You'll find that suitable church a few blocks down the road, across the track.
Not Germany, mind you. America. Think back to the Bible, the story of Adam and Eve. The Bible tells us that Adam and Eve were the father and mother of all humans on the earth, that all of us, therefore, are brothers and sisters. Certainly the Bible says nothing about another couple placed by divine providence on the earth with darker skins. It's time for more and more people to protest segregation in their churches. They must insist on God's house being God's and not headquarters for white supremacy. Words and acts upholding democracy and Christianity may sometimes be difficult, but they must be said and done now. For there are all sorts of forces, few in number but loud and vociferous, forces which are tearing at the roots of our American democracy. Race-exploiting forces that have no doubt of what they wish to achieve. They've no inner conflicts. They know what they want, savagely, ruthlessly. They go after it, without scruples to hamper them, without conscience cluttered with guilt, with no long-range wisdom to trip them up with its questions. Here, listen to some of these forces go to work in America.
Good morning, sir.
What's good about it?
I say good morning to everybody.
Never mind that. My name's Everett Dunn. Yes, I'm the editor of the Star Post. I want to see the president of this firm right away. Tell him I'm out here.
Yes, sir. Mr. Hawley, there's a Mr. Everett Dunn out here. Says he's the editor of the Star Post and he wants to see you right away. Beg your pardon, Mr. Hawley? Show him in. Yes, sir. This way, sir. Right. Follow me. There it is. This door. Right there.
Howdy, Mr. Dunn. Well, what brings you up here to the Hawley Motor Works? Anything we can do for you?
Nothing for me, but something for the good of this town.
And your tone's very serious.
This is a serious matter.
What's up?
I got word last night from a couple of sources that you're planning to put niggers on the assembly line. That you're going to let them do skilled work.
That's right. We intend to start this week.
You'd better not.
Why?
Certain people won't like it.
Well, I don't know...
What are you trying to do? Let these niggers think you're as good as whites? Make them think that they can hold down jobs that only white men used to do in this town?
Well, now listen. We've just got a government order for 300 motors, and we need their help to get it through on schedule. Besides, there's a government law, FEPC.
I know about the government law. Now listen, Hawley. We always thought you were one of us. You give these niggers good jobs, and the first thing you know, we'll be having a race problem in this town.
Oh, I don't think it's as serious as that, Mr.
No?
Dunn, no.
Well, let me tell you, you're starting something, Hawley. I happen to know how some people feel in this town.
The feeling that you're talking about, Dunn, may have existed here once, but it's gone now. The war's changed all that. We've made a little progress in the South since the old days, and I, for one, am glad of it.
Look here, Hawley. I don't want to mince words. I carry a little weight around these parts. I could put the pressure on you, and you'd be sorry for it later.
What are you trying to do? Threaten me?
Giving you a little free advice?
That kind of free advice is unwanted here, Mr. Dunn. I'm not a reader of your paper, and I'm not looking for any favors from your political setup. I'm a law-abiding businessman, My wife and I and my family have certain views which in no way agree with yours.
Go easy, Holly.
Your little yellow journalism paper hasn't done a thing to help morale in this town or in this war. All you can think of is to stir up race prejudice and hold on to your power by playing whites against Negroes. Things are changing, Dunn. And the sooner that you wake up to that fact, the sooner you'll understand that your kind is on the way out.
All right. You can't say I didn't warn you. I'll have a story on you in the morning paper.
Hey, hold on there. Before you do, Dunn, you may as well know what I'm going to do about it.
Yes, and what's that?
Yours is not the only newspaper in this town. I'll buy a whole page of advertising space in the Eagle. And word for word, I'll tell the whole story of this little visit of yours to my office. And if you doubt that I'm going to do exactly that, you go ahead and you print your muckraking slime.
Now, wait a minute, Holly. We don't have to fly off the handle with each other, do we? All I tried to say is that you're rushing things. I'm giving these Negroes skilled jobs. That's rushing things.
I'll run my business my own way.
Yes, but don't you see you're liable to do more harm than good? You mean well, but you're liable to start a riot.
There's a war going on, Mr. Dunn. You wouldn't know it from the kind of drivel that you print in your paper. But Negro boys and girls are in the ranks of our armed services, and they're giving up their lives the same as white youngsters. Colored people are fighting for the same things that whites are fighting for a decent life. And when people like you can understand that, it'll happen sooner. Good day, Mr. Dunn.